jump into a brand new series today called Radical. Now, radical, you may think of it in terms of like extreme, and that's not a poor definition, but that's not the definition I'm taking for us in this series. Let me give you a definition. Look on the stage. On the screen. Radical says very great or complete change. Total, drastic, absolute, extreme transformation. It's transformation. It's from the color white all the way to the color black. It's not gray. And I believe that's what God wants for us as believers, is that we would be radically changed and transformed into brand new people. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians, it says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Now, there's a process of going from old to new, and we all live in that process. Our goal is to try to get as much gray out and move all the way to who God wants us to be. Amen? And then the Bible says in this next verse about transformation, it says, don't copy the behaviors, customs of the world, but let God transform you. And that's our goal, for God to transform us. And through this series, we're going to do 5 weeks on five different values that I believe that God wants to transform us, to be radically changed, radically transformed into a brand new person. And so the first one today, we're going to talk about radical forgiveness. We're going to be freedom through forgiveness. Next week, strong in faith. Week 3, enduring in hope. Week 4, doing everything in love. And then week 5, motivated by compassion. And so those are the five areas I believe the Lord wants us to work on in our life to be radically transformed, to become something brand new in those areas. My hope is that you'll take this series and you'll let it challenge you. I promise you, none of us have every bit of this worked out in our lives, and we all have a place to grow. So I hope you'll be challenged as I am to get better in these areas. So today, radical forgiveness. We want to talk about forgiveness. My bride already gave a prophetic word about forgiveness, and she claimed she didn't know. We didn't talk about it. Sometimes I preach my sermons to her, and I didn't this time, and so the Lord just confirming what He wants to say to us. And so obviously this is God's day for forgiveness. And so let me tell you what the problem is when it comes to forgiveness, all right? In Luke 17:1, this is the problem. This is what Jesus said to His disciples. He said, it's impossible that no offenses should come. Like, you're going to get offended. It's impossible to live without an offense in your life. If you're alive, you're going to get offended. If you're married, you're definitely going to get offended. If you're in church, you're going to get offended. Here's the solution, though. And Jesus gives the solution 3 verses later. He says, if anyone sins against you 7 times. Now, that's pretty many times for someone to, like, sin against you. Like, 7 times in a day. Now, I probably have stretched that limit a time or two in my family. But 7 times, he says, and if 7 times in a day they return and repent, he gives the solution for the offense. He says, you shall forgive him. The problem is there's offenses. The solution is forgiveness. I tell you that because I want to tell you a little joke that's probably going to offend about half of you. You're nervous. You're like, am I part of the half? So, ladies, before I say this, I love you. You have to forgive me. You have to. That's what the Bible teaches. I'm going to tell you. So, all right. So here's, it's a joke, all right? But there was a scientific study that proved that women who gained a few extra pounds of weight will live longer than the man who tells her about it. Yeah, that's right. I love you. Thank you for loving me. If you are new to us, I tell really awful jokes, and that's just part of it. You deal with it. How many of you believe our current culture is easily offended?
Yeah.
Yep. And we live in that culture today. I believe, though, that all of us deal with too thin of skin. We all could use a little help in getting thicker skin. Let me just encourage you with this. This is just going to be so encouraging. You're going to just like, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm glad I came to hear this. I'm going to encourage you with this. You are going to be wronged. You're going to be hurt. You're going to be rejected. You're going to be betrayed. You're going to be lied about. You're going to be misunderstood. You're going to be abandoned. You're going to get cut off in traffic. You're going to be spoken to rudely. You're going to be challenged. You're going to be strongly disagreed with. You're going to deal with passive-aggressive comments. You're going to be called names. You're going to be unfollowed on social media. You're going to be ignored. You're going to get skipped over for a promotion or a position. You're going to be uninvited to a party. You're going to be looked down on, mistreated, and cheated on, and you're going to lose friends along the way because you stood for your beliefs. Isn't that encouraging? But it's a reality. Listen, you're going to get offended. That's just the way it is. And as believers, we need to figure this out. So look at this. This is, if you want to know what the whole sermon's all about today, right here. Is being offended is a reality of life. Staying offended is a choice. That's what it's all about. You can write that down and go home right there if you want to just cut this sermon short. But being offended, it's a reality. But staying offended, that's a choice of ours. I'll share a quick story that kind of like wrecks the way you think about mercy and grace and forgiveness. In 2015 in Charleston, South Carolina, there was a 21-year-old young man who espoused to be white supremacist, and he showed up at an African, predominantly an African-American church in Charleston, South Carolina, and he opened fire, killed 9 African-American Christians in a prayer meeting there. Horrific event. What's mind-boggling to me is how the family of the surviving members responded to this. This is out of the Washington Post, an article that I read, but I'd heard this story over and over, but I found this, and it says that the relatives of the people slain inside the historic African-American church in Charleston, South Carolina, earlier this week, were able to speak directly to the accused gunman Friday at his first court appearance. And one by one, those who chose to speak at a bond hearing did not turn to anger. Instead, while he, the shooter, remained impassive, they offered him forgiveness and said they were praying for his soul, even as they described the pain of their loss. "I forgive you," Nadine Collier, the daughter of 70-year-old Ethel Lance, said at the hearing, her voice breaking with emotion. "You took something very precious from me. I will never talk to her again. I will never, ever hold her again. But I forgive you and have mercy on your soul." Another said, "I acknowledge that I'm very angry," said the sister of DePayne Middleton, "doctor. But one thing that DePayne always enjoined in our family is she taught me that we are a family built on love. We have no room for hating, so we have to forgive." I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your pain is. I don't know who or what the offense is in your life. But based on the character of those Christians in Charleston, and based on what I want to teach you today, that forgiveness is the way to unlock God's freedom in your life and to move past the resentments and it begins the process of healing. You won't always heal immediately after forgiveness. It's not a magic pill and go, "Ooh, I'm all of a sudden better." But if you don't forgive, you'll stay trapped in resentment. But when you do forgive, you'll begin to let it go. You'll begin to find freedom and you'll begin to find healing through that. And we all have offenses in our life, and some are way more significant than others, and some are lesser that you're dealing with now. But I just want to encourage you today to let this message kind of sink into your heart and help you find freedom through forgiveness today. And so I want to teach us that why we need to learn to forgive others. And let me give you a definition of forgiveness. Forgiveness is a unilateral decision. Unilateral, nice big word. Unilateral decision, meaning that I choose to forgive regardless of what the other party is doing. Yeah. I choose to make a decision regardless. In the story of the people in Charleston, the shooter sat there impassive, no remorse whatsoever. They made a unilateral decision to not hold something against another person. That's what forgiveness is. It's a unilateral decision, me towards someone, to not hold something against another person despite what he or she has done to you. That's what forgiveness is. It's a unilateral. Now, I do want to comment to say that forgiveness doesn't mean that we will put ourselves back into a harmful situation. It doesn't mean that we suddenly accept or we approve of the person's continued wrong behavior. We're not talking about that. It just means that we're releasing them from the wrong and I'm setting myself free. And so we want to move from there. And I want to take us to a verse out of Matthew chapter 18 and talk a little bit about how Jesus wants us to learn how to forgive. And just to give context to what we're going to see here in Matthew 18, previous to that, a few verses earlier, Jesus is teaching his disciples about how to deal with someone that offends you. And in Matthew 18, in verse 15, he says, go to that person that has offended you and point out that offense and then work it out if you can't. Try to reconcile it if you can't. Now, that's in a perfect world, but you don't always have that opportunity to go to that person. Sometimes it's not appropriate to go to that person and work it out. And so Peter was probably in a position where he was like, I don't know what to do with this. I need further explanation. And so Peter begins a conversation with Jesus, and Peter comes to him and he asks, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? He's like, how many times? Now, just knowing Peter, if you know a little bit about Peter, he's the same one that when they came to arrest Jesus, that he took a sword out and chopped off the guy's ear. He was a fiery fella. I think he was like, when I get to eight, can I get even now? I mean, I think that's where he was. He's like, I'm counting it up. I think somebody was at six on Peter's list. I think he's like, we've made it to six. When do I get to chop off an ear, Jesus? Like, I've had it. How many of you have been there? I've had it. I want to chop off a head, you know? So seven times. Now, listen, that was actually a pretty intelligent number. He didn't just throw that out, because the previous verse we had read where Jesus talked to them about forgiving someone seven times in a day, you forgive them seven times. So Peter was actually giving a pretty intelligent response. And then Jesus realized, oh, you're trying to count up to figure out how many times until you get to be mad at them and get even. So Jesus goes, says, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Who knew that Jesus was into math? For those of you who are trying to figure it out, that's 490 times. 490 times? Listen, Drew, if you offend me 489 times, I'm going to struggle. You know, I don't think the point was about counting. I think the point is a lifestyle of forgiving. Because we're going to get offended. You're going to be offended more than 490 times in your life. Hopefully not by the same person, but you will be offended. And so he said to him 490 times, it's radical forgiveness. It's a transformation. I live from a place of forgiveness. Our culture in our world lives offended. The culture of the kingdom should be to live forgiving. And that's where we should live, is learn to forgive. So Peter, I think, when Jesus said, no, not seven times, 70 times seven, you know, I think Peter did the math, and then he looked at Jesus with that blank, dazed stare. I'm confused. What do you mean? And so I think Jesus said, okay, let me tell you a little story so that I can help you understand why you need to learn to forgive people. So Jesus jumps into this parable about a story, and in this, I want to teach you three reasons why you and I need to learn to forgive others. And so Jesus said in this story back to Peter, he said, therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with the servants who had borrowed money from him. So in the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. Now, in my study, the scholars, you know, people smarter than me, said it was like hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, such a number. Jesus threw a number out so great that anybody would look at that and go, well, that's impossible, which was the point of it. hundreds of millions of dollars. Verse 25 says, so he couldn't pay. So his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, children, everything he owned to pay the debt. Hey, listen, they dealt with bankruptcy in a pretty tough way. Sell your family, you're my slave. Verse 26 says, but the man fell down before his master and he begged. He says, I need mercy. I can't do this. Please be patient with me, it says, and I will pay it. Verse 27 says, then the master was filled with pity and compassion for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. Everybody say forgive. Forgive. He was forgiven of his debt. Hey, the first reason why you and I need to learn to forgive others is because God forgave me. God forgave me. Kind of the bigger picture of this story is that we have a king and we have a man who owed the king hundreds of millions of dollars. He was at a place where the only thing he could do is go, I can't handle this on my own. And he begged for mercy. And what we can understand in this story is that really this is a story about you and I and our relationship to God. It's a story of where we have $100 million worth of debt to God and we can't pay it. Our sin is the $100 million worth of debt in our life. Now, in the story, the servant owned $100 million. I will say that he probably needs financial peace, the life group that's coming up. So that's a plug for financial peace. I don't know how you get $100 million in debt, but he did. But in our life, we have $100 million of debt to God because that's what our sin looks like before us. And it's an impossible place for us to be able to solve this on our own. We cannot be good enough, act good enough, look good enough, do enough things to measure up to where we can be good enough to pay off our own debt. And that's kind of the big story here. We're the ones who desperately need God's mercy and grace and forgiveness in our life. The Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. In other words, what we actually earned, like if you're thinking, can I earn forgiveness? You can't. What we really earned is death, which is the separation from God, which is the guilt and the condemnation in our life. It's the shame. It's separation. Ultimately, it's a separation from God, condemned to hell forever because we can't do it. You cannot be good enough. Listen, I got saved at a Billy Graham crusade. Billy Graham, my hero, probably the most, person that lived the most biblical life I could ever imagine. Billy Graham needed a savior because he still couldn't be good enough to pay for his own sins. That's why this verse finishes, but the free gift of God, it's a gift that God gives us. You don't earn it. It's a gift. The gift of forgiveness of our sins is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, we don't earn it. We simply receive the gift of God because Jesus came and he said, I'll take your penalty. I'll take your sin and put it on my back so that you can be free to have a relationship with our Father. Amen. It's $100 million worth of condemnation off your back, put on Jesus's back. How do you think you would feel if you had a huge debt, like a financial debt paid off in your life? Just for a moment, think about your personal balance sheet and potentially how negative it is. Think about the debt maybe you have. Just think about if someone came to you and said, hey man, been thinking about you. I'm going to pay off your house for you. Wouldn't that be awesome? Because that's probably the biggest debt most people have, their house. Maybe you own a business and they go, you know what? I'm going to pay off your entire debt in your business. And you know what? I'm feeling good because I like you. I'm going to pay off your cars. I'm going to pay off your credit card debt that you shouldn't have. I'm going to pay off your college loans. I'm going to pay off every debt you have. How would you feel about that? I mean, would you be pretty happy? Like, man, I'd probably jump around a little bit. Somebody's just paid it all off. I'd be hugging them, give them a bro kiss. The Bible talks about a holy kiss. It's on the cheek. But I'd be so excited. I would be so thankful. And so when we think about $100 million of debt, our sin being paid off by Jesus Christ, there should be within every believer a joy that rises up within us every time we think about Jesus. I think Christians ought to be the happiest people on the planet because we have been forgiven of something so much greater than any financial debt in our life, but we've been forgiven of our sins and we have this relationship and we're free from condemnation. We have eternity. We ought to be pretty joyful folks. So let's just assume for a moment that someone paid off all your debts. You wiped them all clean. Let's just hypothetically say that was $250,000 in your life, gone. And then you have a friend comes up to you, says, "Man, I know I owe you $25, but I lost my job last month. My child has been in the hospital. We're really struggling. I know I owe you $25. Can we push that back 1 month?" What would you say to that person? You'd say, "You know what? Forget about that $25. 250, I mean, 25 grand. I've been, $250,000 just got paid off for me. I'm good." And that's why this, let me take you to this point. The reason why I forgive others is because God forgave me. And as great as whatever that offense is towards you and I, nothing compares to the amazing gift of forgiveness of our sins in our life. Now, I'm not belittling if you've gone through abuse and those things. Trust me, I'm not saying that. But I am saying there's nothing greater in this world than the forgiveness of our sins. And the reason why we forgive is because we have been forgiven of so much, and it's such a smaller thing to forgive others in our life. Amen? Amen. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." So the key to forgiveness is recognizing how much God forgives me every day. When I am feeling forgiven, when I'm recognizing that I feel forgiven, then I'm very forgiving. And so we need to have a moment. "Lord, thank you for forgiving me." One of the things I love about coming to church is worshiping. The reason I worship is because He has forgiven me. The reason I praise Him, even when life is cruddy, because I've been forgiven. I've been given a new life. Now, back to the story with Peter, the servant. He had millions of dollars of debt forgiven. And let's see how he responded. It says, "So when this man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and he demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. 'Be patient with me, I'll pay it,' he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put into prison until the debt could be paid full." How do you think the king felt after he'd just forgiven this guy of hundreds of millions of dollars and this guy comes along with a few thousand dollars and will not give time? Well, he responded, by the way, all of us would. The king, here's what it says, "When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king. They told him everything that happened. The king called the man that he had forgiven and said, 'You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant?'" Shouldn't you? Yes. Everybody say, "Shouldn't I?" Yes. "Shouldn't I have mercy on others? Shouldn't I?" I should. "Shouldn't I have mercy on your fellow servant, just as I have mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. Hey, the second reason why I should learn to forgive others is because refusing to forgive others makes me miserable. It makes me miserable. Refusing to forgive becomes a prison that it torments the offended, not the offender. We imprison ourselves. Now, in this text, it says that the king sent the man to prison. It's a symbol of hell. But it's also for us, we understand it's a symbol of hell on earth if you've ever lived through an offense and you don't lay it down. Because when we refuse to forgive someone, we become resentful, we become bitter about it. It begins to kind of torture us from the inside. It kind of wraps us up in a prison. It binds us. It robs us. It robs us of our joy. Because what happens is we start playing that over in our head over and over and over and over and over. And we keep just rehearsing that. And it drives us crazy. The other person that offended you, they've already gone on to offend someone else. And you're left in your own trap with it. In Job chapter 21, it says, and it's talking about two people and the contrast of two people at the end of their life. And it says, one person dies in full vigor, completely secure and at ease, well-nourished in body, bones, rich in marrow. Another dies in bitterness of soul. So one dies in full vigor. Another dies in bitterness of soul. And look what it says, never having enjoyed anything good. Bitterness of soul. It robs you of your happiness and your joy. Let me ask you today, what offense has become your prison? What offense are you playing over and over that's robbing you of your everyday? It's robbing you of your joy because you keep rehearsing that thing over and over. I just want to encourage you, whatever it is, whoever it is, it's just not worth it. Let it go. It's just not worth it. Your life, your future, your joy. You're rehearsing something over and over. Listen, we have done it. And sometimes we spur each other on, not to good works, but to more bitterness at times. You know, we're like, that person, rah, rah, you know. And if you've ever had a spouse, you know you can run each other down at times and something like that. But listen, we got to let it go. It's not worth our future. Resentment makes me miserable. It makes you miserable. Forgiveness sets you free to begin to heal. Let it go. And the third reason that I need to learn to forgive is because I'll need forgiveness in the future. Won't we? All you perfect people, raise your hand. I get frustrated in traffic like everybody else. The other day, I didn't mean to. I cut somebody off. They honked at me. I didn't mean to do it. I'm glad that I drive around generally with a lot of forgiveness on the road. I want to sow forgiveness. Listen, we are not perfect. We are going to need forgiving at some point along the way. My wife, I'm going to offend her somewhere along the way. I'm going to need her to forgive me along the way. I want a track record. Now, I don't want to hold it against her. I don't want to be able to say, remember when I forgave you. I'm just saying I want to sow into that. My children, they're going to have to forgive me in the future. My church, listen, I'm not going to do something. I pray, God, I won't do something bad. But somewhere along the way, you're going to have to forgive me for something. I'm going to tell you a joke, and it's not going to work, and you're going to really be offended. Sometimes people come through the hall, and I get really preoccupied in talking, and I like that about me. I'm a talker. I get to talking, and then somebody will walk by, and I didn't see them, didn't talk to them. And in their mind, they start rehearsing. My pastor didn't talk to me today. My pastor, he didn't care about me. Why didn't he care about me? He was talking to everybody else, but he didn't talk to me. And so I don't mean to do stuff. None of us sometimes mean to hurt people, but it happens. Listen, church, I need to forgive others because one day I'm going to need forgiveness in the future. And then just to add on top of this, when Jesus was talking to Peter, he said it to him like this. He said in verse 35, and let me just set it up, in the future, if you refuse to forgive others, it hurts my relationship with God in the future. Yes. Like it hurts my relationship. And Peter heard it like this from Jesus. He said, that's what my heavenly Father will do if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. What he was saying is when there was that separation, listen, anytime we walk with unforgiveness in our life, it makes it really hard to draw close to God. You know what happens to me when I'm carrying bitterness and resentment for somebody? I start my prayer time and God goes, hang on, time out. Let's talk about that person. You're like, God, hang on. I want to pray about, you know, my church. I don't want to talk about your church. I want to talk about this person that you're holding resentment about. Every single time. And what happens is I either deal with it or I quit going to God. Because he repeats himself. He has plenty of time. Let me close. Now what? When it comes to be offended, you can either rehearse it or release it. You can rehearse it over and over in your mind and become more resentful, and you can try to figure out a way to retaliate. You can figure out ways to get even. You can be like Peter and start adding up the times you've been hurt. You can become a victim in life and you can live miserable. Or you can release it and experience God's forgiveness through Christ in your own life, and you can offer that same forgiveness to others who have hurt you, and you can begin to heal in your own life. That's why we need to learn to forgive. Amen? Amen. I want to close with prayer. I'm really thankful you came today to be part of this. I know that all of us deal with offenses in our life. And as I close this in prayer, I just want to bring you to a moment where maybe you might think of someone you need to forgive. Maybe you might think of a moment that someone offended you and you've still been holding on to it. Maybe you need to forgive your parents. Maybe you need to forgive your wife or your children. Maybe you need to forgive a friend or a boss. Maybe you need forgiveness. Maybe as you're thinking about this, thinking what you did. God has forgiven us. And so I just want to encourage us to be radical, meaning we're transformed into people that forgive others. Instead of holding on to stuff, we just lay it down before the Lord. Would you pray with me? Pray this in your own heart. I'm going to say these words, but I want you to kind of just work it as I go through it in your own life. Dear God, I need your forgiveness today. We all do. Just think about that. Lord, I just need your forgiveness. Help me to understand today how much you love me, God. Help me to remember how much you've forgiven in my life, Lord. And would you just ask God to remind you how much he has forgiven you. And now, God, I ask that you forgive all the things that I've ever done wrong. I ask that you forgive me for being unforgiving towards others. Hey, right now, if someone comes to your mind, kind of in a mental picture, just a name of a person specifically, don't say it out loud, but just kind of take that name and say, God, I just forgive them. Lord, I know I have a debt to you so much greater than any debt that a person can have towards me. And yet you've forgiven me. You've loved me. And now, God, I just want to return that. I want to give that forgiveness back out. I want to be free from resentment. And I don't want to be miserable, God. I want to be free from that. And so at this moment, just pray, God, I just let it go. I just let it go. I forgive them. I forgive them today.